Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I am Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And with me in the studio, Amy Anderson, Production Coordinator. Good morning, Amy.
Hi, Greg.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Adam Coons. Adam, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Well rested.
Good. So everybody had a good holiday.
Excellent.
Nice break. Got to put some work down.
Yeah.
Only to wake up Friday morning
right.
to see the market hit a wall. But Adam, I think I personally think that this happens on holidays where we have a light trading desk. There's no market support in the market, and the traders can push the market lower.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's the machines or if it's traders pushing it down, but you know it's been a pattern on short holidays. I think I don't see anything changing. So with that, here's what we got today. We got a little bit of equity news. We got some economic pieces, and then we got some themes that we're going to talk about. Anything that you've got in addition to that?
I'm going to talk a little bit about just kind of where markets have moved so far this year and talk about the U.S. dollar a little bit. But
And before we do that, Green Bay won, and the University of Wisconsin hit a wall. And
it
is not going to the Big Ten Championships, so that was a real disappointment this weekend.
Yeah.
But the holiday shopping season got off to a start.
It did.
In-store shopping looks pretty strong.
It did, yeah.
And it looks like online sales so far have been weaker than expected.
Right.
And then clouded by this whole COVID variant coming out of South Africa. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But go ahead. Why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, so you mentioned on Friday, obviously, a big sell-off. The NASDAQ was actually down 3.5% on Friday with the S&P down a little over 2%. And I agree with you. I think, you know, obviously the news was not good, but I don't think we would have had that big of a sell-off in equity markets had it been a typical trading day. But it shouldn't be any surprise. You saw the stay-at-home stocks do fairly well, like Zoom, and then you had Pfizer and Moderna actually up on the day. But then conversely, I mean, you're Carnival Cruise, Norwegian, mm-hmm. United yep. Airlines were all down over 10% on Friday. So, you know, kind of a similar story to what we saw in one day back during COVID, where you saw those stocks that are going to be impacted by reduced travel impacted pretty hard.
Hey, speaking of travel, did you hear about the guy who stowed away in the wheel well, the American Airlines?
No.
From Guatemala. And he survived, landed in Miami. And so since like the 1950s, there's only been 150 attempts at this. Their survival rate is pretty much, I guess, zero. So this kid survived.
Wow.
This was, I know, this is scary stuff. The world we live in.
Yeah, right.
But speaking of airline travel, back to you.
I think it's one day. I don't think we don't have enough information about this new variant. It's obviously they're saying that it's already, you know, through Europe, and they're saying that it's likely it's in the U.S. How that evolves, I believe that the markets have kind of digested the fact that a version of COVID is going to be here for a while.
Yeah, we're living in a world in which a new COVID mutation can spread through the country quickly. Impact potential growth. It is what we have to digest in the markets.
Right.
It's just, and knowing that, I think that the U.S. government's not going to shut down the economy.
No.
I think that's part of what we have to look at. It's got to be really, really extreme for us to really pull back, because I think there's some lessons learned from 2020 where we started to really curtail economic growth, and there's a real pushback saying we can do this without shutting it down.
Yeah. And I think the vaccine helps that. And I, you know, Pfizer's come out today and said, you know, they're working to evolve with changes in the virus. So ultimately, I think we can go on, I don't want to say business as usual, but obviously we're with some minor changes, we can continue to just operate. The issue I probably have is the supply chain continues to be an issue. And I think that's one of the big reasons we saw online shopping down relative to in the store, because mm-hmm. the shipping dates from a lot of places, you go online to buy something and it says, we don't know when you're going to get it. You know, they're not making promises. You're going to get it by Christmas.
Right.
So people are feeling like, hey, I better go to the store, buy what I can, rather than just, you know, hoping that it gets to me if I order it online. So I think that was one of the, because I agree with you, one of the year over year online shopping was actually down on Thanksgiving. So anyway, from a market standpoint, you know, the S&P 500 still is up 24%. So still a great year for stocks. And then one thing I did want to highlight that we haven't really talked about much is biotech. Surprisingly, despite, you know, a lot of the breakthroughs with the virus, biotech is actually down 10% on a trailing 3 months mm-hmm. and is only up 2% year to date. So by far the laggard across the S&P 500.
Yeah. And I'm a big believer in buy low, sell high.
Yeah.
So I think there's something there.
I'm on board with you there. A few things I did want to bring up that we don't talk about typically are currencies. U.S. dollar is something that we haven't talked about is actually up 6% year to date, while the yen, the euro are down 8-9%. And then in a, you know, I think if you told someone the rate of inflation we have and some of the monetary policy, you would assume that gold would be doing well, but it's actually down 6% year to date. So, you know, some of these, what you would consider inflation type trades are actually not working this year. So I don't know if you have any thoughts there on what's different this time.
I don't. And it's just with crypto, I don't know how much money would be flowing into gold is going into crypto. And I hope none of it, but it just rocks my world that can't be a safe haven. I think it's, you know, risk on trade, the risky assets, that's where we shift. But in a world where you have stocks, bonds, and cash, and you know expected returns are going to be, you believe expected returns are going to be significantly lower, what do you do? So crypto becomes a potential solution for some investors as an alternative. So anyway.
You would think so. And then speaking of bonds, obviously on Friday, rates just took a nosedive. They're down 16 basis points. So the 10-year dropped below 1.5% again on Friday. 30-year was below 185. So a pretty big move in rates. Obviously, that was just that mentality of risk off. You're seeing rates up just a touch today. But overall, it seems like the market is a little bit skittish. So I guess we'll just have to see how this plays through. But the problem, I guess, going to the back half or, you know, the end of this year is that liquidity is going to continue to be light. So we're probably going to see heightened volatility, to your point, is news in one way or another is going to be much easier to push the market you know, the way of either the big machine participants or the retail Reddit users who want to push things around.
So I think, we got a kind of a mixed bag, but going into the end of the year here, the economy still is solid. So whether you believe it's decelerating or whether you believe it's accelerating, I'm in the camp that it actually is accelerating. We should see the work that I'm doing, we should see some strong growth, but whether that translates into earnings, into higher stock prices remains to be seen. But the fundamentals, we are still, regardless of what happens with the online shopping piece of it right now, I think what we're seeing is that we should have a reasonably strong holiday shopping season. The consumer's back, they've got cash. Housing prices are still up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are feeling wealthy. They feel like they can spend. So we should see that flow through the consumption numbers. Job growth is still happening. So, you know, the October number, I think it was 530,000. Unemployment's down to 4.6. I know we still have another 1.7 million people that have to go back. You know, we're trying to get jobs, but it's still going in the right direction. Now, what that translates into our themes next year is remains to be seen, but it's the foundationally we've gotten through it. It's been an expensive recovery because of the deficit spending that's taken place. But right now, I think one of the biggest risks was we can transition into some of the themes. for next year, but the Fed risks a huge policy mistake if they continue to treat inflation as transitory and not really address it. They appear to be focused on this employment issue and getting people back to work and getting normalized job growth. Following the financial crisis in 2008, it took 3 years to get 8 million people back to work. So we're heading into year two.
Yeah.
And we still have 1.7 million workers that from where we began, we still have 1.7 to put back to work. So given the pace of inflation, if the Fed continues to pursue this policy, I think I think the risk is actually the Fed tightens sooner than they're leading on to.
Yeah.
And their hand is forced because of the pace of inflation. So we have to kind of tease that out as a theme, but it'll go with this whole rising rates issue. What else you got, Adam?
I think on that same, I guess, as a theme is just generally speaking, is that technology stocks are the ones that have worked, right? And so I think valuations are, I would say, fully priced in with the growth. So that really the path forward is what are interest rates going to do? And I think that's really what's going to drive tech stocks in this next year. So if we see interest rates rise, and we've seen this, I mean, the correlation has been almost perfect, is if interest rates are up, technology stocks are by far the laggard. If rates are down, mm-hmm. technology stocks outperform. So I think given where valuations are, that the future movement of tech stocks is really going to be driven by what rates do. So,
yep. And I think along with that, it's kind of a twist, but with valuations where they are in the equity market, we're going to see a renewed focus on income, which is when you look at dividend income, then you're leaning more towards value-oriented stocks away from growth. So I would expect to see a shift from those technology-driven growth stocks more towards value this next year.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're uncertain about what rates are going to do and then hence what tech stocks are going to do, it makes sense to go into the cheaper value stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the hardest thing we're going to have is finding a way to appropriately play that without just excessively overweighting financials. But
so another theme, and this is, you could write a whole paper on this one theme, is China and how US-China. So I'm going to place the bet that US-China relations take one more step towards normalization. And what is normalization? Yeah, we could define that all differently, but that we coexist together, U.S. and China. We're not going back to where we were 4 years ago, but I think there'll be one step towards. It's in both countries' best interests to do that. However, I think that China is going to allow growth to slow just to digest its excessive debt, which is why I think they're going to need to normalize, is they need trade to pick up. And what we're seeing right now is some of those supply chain disruptions is more and more of that's coming back to the United States.
Right.
And so we're seeing massive, so there's these building the manufacturing of chips down in Austin, Texas, just as one example. So China is going to be a big theme for next year.
Yeah, I agree. I think the longer this supply chain issue goes on for, the more likely we'll see more production coming back to the U.S. So, it's a theme that was, this is probably 3 years ago when Trump was trying to get more stuff made in the U.S. And it turns out that really all we needed was supply chain to lock up.
Right.
You're kind of forced to. So we are moving in that direction, which would be a negative for China. But overall, I mean, I would still say Chinese stocks still look cheap. And if we do see those relations,
normalized,
then I think you'll see Chinese stocks recover quite a bit.
Yeah. And then after we've kind of touched on this, but after 5 years of solid investment returns, return expectations for risk assets are going to be significantly lower over the next couple of years. We've said this before, and we've been wrong because the Fed's just flushed more money into the system, which has helped just to increase valuations in all risk assets. But if we just assume that stimulus now is just, again, normalized, the Fed doesn't do anymore and starts to actually take a step towards withdrawing it, we would expect that investment returns are going to be significantly lower.
Yeah, I mean, with the S&P up 30% last year and 25% this year, it's hard to argue we didn't borrow some returns.
Right. So, yeah, especially when we're at 34 times earnings.
Right.
So we gotta. I think so that with that, then the penalty to miss earnings is going to be pretty severe.
And that's what I was going to say. I think now we've reached a point where I think for the past 2 years, the bar has been low, which has helped companies exceed those expectations. Now the bar is high. And, you know, the future growth projections that are priced into stocks is fairly high. So, yeah, I think the probability of a miss and that being, you know, pretty problematic for stocks is higher given where things are now.
Anything else on your plate?
That's it for me.
That's it for me. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you through the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2021, Winthrop Capital Management.